Where your head at? Dang, don't wanna talk business. I guess I gotta be the one to see the summer. Who really in this? We so fed up. My life, 10 up. Your time, bent up. Big prayers, sent up. Couldn't do without him, Glad that I found him. Crowd really wild. I'm kicking it, shining.
I can listen to that all day. Hey, welcome to Front Range. My name is Ernest Smith. I'm the lead pastor, and we're so grateful that you are here, whether you're joining us here in the room or in the courtyard, or maybe you're joining us online. We're grateful to have you, and our hope is that this will become a home for you, a place where you can build community, discover your purpose, and grow in your faith in Jesus. And I'm excited about today for a couple reasons. First, we've got free Rita's Italian Ice for everybody. For those of you here, for those of you in the courtyard, even those of you watching online, we got Rita Ice for you and for you and for everybody, right? And so if you're watching online, all you have to do is go to Rita's here in Castle Rock today and say, hey, I'm with Front Range, and they'll give you free Rita's Ice right there. If you're watching this on another day of the week, join us on Sunday. That's just what I'm saying. Just join us on Sunday. But we hope that is just one way. It's one way we could bless one of our business owners in our church, but also a way to bless you as well. So hope you enjoy that. Second thing I'm excited about is we are starting a new series called Chasing Carrots, The Endless Pursuit of More. And I believe that this series, that it's going to be pretty transformative for all of us, including myself. I was talking to people right after last service and how God just spoke to them in a powerful way. And I think we're all in the same boat, right? Because, like, have you ever been in a place where you thought, man, if I could just have that, then that will make me happy. That will give me satisfaction. That will bring me fulfillment. And then you get that, whatever that is, and then you go, well, that didn't give me those things. I need more of that. And if I just had a little bit of more of that, then I'll have what I need. And then you get more of that. And it's just this continual pursuit of more. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about money and possessions. We're going to talk about perfection and approval, the pursuit of comfort. But today we're going to talk about a topic that honestly has never been more relevant in the history of the world than it is right now because of the internet and because of social media. Today we're going to talk about the pursuit of fame. The pursuit of fame, the pursuit of being known, the pursuit of people liking me, the pursuit of being respected, the pursuit of having followers and people like what I say or acknowledge what I say. Now, I know some of you are thinking, Ernest, I don't fall into this category. And my guess is after this message, there's going to be many of us that go, okay, maybe I do fall there. Pastor Craig Rochelle, pastor of Life Church, where we took this series idea from, he says it this way, that many of us deal with micro cravings of fame, small bursts of desires for fame. For example, when you overcommit because you have this desire for people to like you, and so you commit, you say yes to kind of everything that goes on, or maybe you want credit for things. You do something at work and you want the boss to acknowledge it, or maybe you serve or you give and you want people to say, hey, thank you for doing that thing. You want acknowledgement. Or for some of us, this desire for fame presents itself when people criticize you. You're overly sensitive to criticism. 50 people can say positive things about you, but the moment one person says something negative, it's like your whole world crashes because you just long for people to like you. You long to be known. Now, social media is really the breeding ground of this pursuit of fame, right? I mean, we see people, you know, take pictures. Something like a selfie stick would have never existed, you know, 15 years ago, right? I think my grandparents' generation, like, looks at this, like, what is that thing? You know, but today, like, it's used to get the perfect picture. And you've seen the people, and maybe you're one of them, right? That you've used it, and you've gone, man, I just gotta, and then you take, like, 30 or 40, pretty much in the exact, you might move a little bit. You're like, you know, if I just get that, my head, you know, and you just got to get the perfect picture, but you can't just get the perfect picture. You've got to get the perfect caption. You know, you say, oh man, I'm at the beach. No, no, that just woke up this way. No, that's stupid. Sun's out, guns out. No, they're more like bazookas. You know, like maybe just a sun emoji, whatever it is. Like you just got to get the perfect caption. And then after you post it, you check after like 5 minutes because you got to see like how many people liked it. And not enough people liked it. Maybe you take it down or you wonder why didn't people like this thing? Or maybe why don't people like me? And here's what I would say about the society that we're in right now where people are living for likes but longing for love. I feel like that's really where we are as a society, and that's what my heart breaks for, is that as a society, we're living for likes, but we long for love. Now, some of us still may be thinking, Ernest, this isn't me. Like, I'm not on social media. I don't care about people liking me. None of that stuff. And that's you. If that's you, that's awesome. But my guess is if that's you, there's somebody in your life, maybe it's a child or a grandchild or a friend or another family member, that they do struggle with this. I mean, even kids struggle with this. There's been a ton of surveys that they've asked kids what they want to be when they grow up. And the number one thing that kids between the ages of 10 and 12 want to be when they grow up is famous. Like when I was young, it was like, do you want to be a cop or a fireman or like something like, but now I just want to be, I see it in my kids. I have an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old, and we'll do something. They'll say, Dad, you need to put this on video and then put it on YouTube so everybody can see it. And I'm like, I don't even know how to do that. Like, I don't have a YouTube channel, and no one follows me, you know? So, like, I hate to, like, bust their bubble, but, like, that's just not going to work for us. But kids long for that. All right, how many of you, by show of hands, how many of you are in the age bracket of 26 to 40? Raise your hand if you're 26 to 40. Okay, so they've done surveys, and those who are in the age bracket of 26 to 40, which I'm in, say that 50% of us think that their life should be made into a movie. Think about that for a second. That'd be like one boring movie, right? And plus, I don't think Dwayne The Rock Johnson can play me very well. So, you know, it's all good. What's crazy is what people will give up to be famous. One study showed that 1 out of every 6 people will give up the ability to have kids if they could be famous. Now, some of you are thinking, man, I have kids and I'll just give them up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even have to be famous. Just take my kids for a day or for their lifetime or whatever. Here's what's fascinating about fame to me is that years ago, you could only become famous by being the best. By being like the best in your industry, by being, you know, maybe an athlete or being a movie star of some sort. You could only, but now you could become famous because you have interesting content or because you're really bad at something. Or because you did something that's really funny, or maybe you were just in the right place at the right time. A buddy of mine, back in 2012, he was running a race in Charleston, and when he got toward the end of the race, he looked over at a friend, and he smiled at that friend, and a cameraman caught this picture right here. And I don't know if you remember this picture. It's a huge meme, but they dubbed him as the ridiculously photogenic guy. And within moments, my buddy Watkins became hugely famous. In fact, Watkins is the brother of Grayson, who is our worship leader today. They're brothers. And within weeks, Watkins was on every major news network. He had tens of thousands of people following him. He had marriage proposals from all over the country. I mean, all because he was in the right place at the right time. Or you could just do something funny. Like, I saw a video that I wanted to show you where this lady has millions of views because of something funny. Take a look.
Okay, here we go. So, yes! Now watch when my mouth actually moves. That's not me making that noise, it's the mask! Here, listen.
All right, how many of you could just watch that the rest of the service? Yeah, me too. Go watch it. It's really funny. She can't stop laughing at herself. So you could be at the right place at the right time. You could do something really bad. You could do something funny or whatever to become famous. But here's what I need to make clear. There is absolutely nothing wrong with being famous. There's absolutely nothing wrong with people knowing you, with being the best in your industry, with producing good content or anything like that. In fact, I believe that there's many times we see all throughout Scripture where God made people famous. I mean, Joseph, the guy we just studied for 6 weeks, he was famous. King David would come back from some type of battle, and the women would come out into the streets and start singing about the guy. I mean, Jesus, it could be argued that he was famous, where thousands of people would come to hear him speak or to watch the miracles. And so there's absolutely nothing wrong with being famous. In fact, I think that you can make a legitimate living and bring glory to God through fame. However, be very careful. Be very careful in the pursuit of fame. Because the pursuit of fame puts attention on me and not on the Creator, not on God. It makes people look at me and what I'm doing rather than on God and what He's doing. And not only that, but fame can really mess a person up. Counselors will say that it can be incredibly traumatic for people when they find instant fame or they find fame over a period of time. If you don't believe counselors, you don't believe maybe God's word, look at, you know, certain people who are famous. One guy who at the height of his career after making Dumb and Dumber and The Mask and The Grinch and all that, Jim Carrey says this, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they dreamed of." Some of you are like, yeah, I'm down for that. So they can see that it's not the answer. You can have all the money and all the fame, and it's not the answer. So what is the answer? I mean, what's the answer for us, for many of us who we long to be known, we long to be liked, we long for people to know our name or to respect us or whatever the case may be, what is the answer? Well, today we're going to look in God's word at the story of a guy that is one of my favorite characters. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, no worries. It's going to be up on the screen. But the guy we're going to look at today, he was famous. He not only had those micro cravings and micro bursts of fame, but I mean, he was known by thousands upon thousands of people. And his name is John the Baptist. And a couple things about him: no, his middle name was not the, and he was not a Baptist. He was called John the Baptist because he baptized people as a precursor to Jesus. And there were thousands. He was kind of a weird dude. He was out in the wilderness. He was eating honey and locusts, kind of a strange guy. You wouldn't think a lot of people would follow, but thousands of people flocked to him to hear his teaching and to be baptized by him. And so I love his story because we see in his story a guy who had the fame, he had the followers, he had all the likes, and yet we see how he responds. When Jesus comes out to the scene, there's a disturbance in John's ministry. At least that's what his followers felt. And that's where we pick up the story, John 3, verse 25. It says this, "An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, 'Rabbi, the man who is with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about,'" they're talking about Jesus here, "'look, he's baptizing, and everyone is going to him.'" So John's doing this thing, and his followers come up and say, "Hey, can you believe that Jesus guy? I mean, the guy that, like, you baptized, the guy that, like, we've been here well before him." Now, they're cousins. John and Jesus are cousins, so they knew each other. But their followers are like, "Can you believe this guy? Like, he's taking everybody. Everybody's going to Jesus." Now, not everybody was going to Jesus. John still had a lot of followers at this point. John was still baptizing people. So they don't have everybody, but you can see this fear of John's followers, like maybe their influence, maybe their power, maybe their fame is slipping away. Here's how John responds to this. John replied, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, 'I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him.'" So John first says, hey, what a person gets is only from God. He's saying whether it's fame, whether it's spiritual influence, whether it's the opportunity to speak into somebody's life, whatever it may be, that is directly given from God. And because it's given from God, it can also be taken away. And then he says, "And I'm not the Christ." Now that's Jesus. "I'm not the Messiah. I know people ask me, 'Hey, are you the Messiah?' And people ask you, 'Is John the Messiah?' But John knew who he was, that he was not the Messiah." In fact, right after this, John says, "Oh, by the way, because Jesus is here now, my mission is complete. Like, what I'm here for is now done." Now, can you imagine being one of his followers? Like, wait, hold on, John. Like, we've been doing this for a while now. Like, we have a lot of people that have come to us. Like, your name is really well known. And because they're associated with him, their names are known and all of that. And John, you're saying we are going to give all of this up? And then John makes a statement. He closes out this part of the passage with a statement. I would encourage you not just to highlight or write down, but I would encourage you to memorize it. John says this, "He must become greater, I must become less. He must become greater, I must become less. He must increase, I must decrease." John, who had the followers, who had the popularity, he had the likes and all of that, John says, it's not about me. And if Jesus is going to increase, I must decrease. If I want Christ to rise up and to get the attention, to get the focus, then I can't be putting the attention and the focus on me. So I've got to decrease. I've got to put the attention off of me and onto Jesus. But how do you do that? I mean, how do you do that in a culture that glorifies fame? How do you do that in a culture where people are longing for a video to go viral or to have that one picture taken at the right point or whatever? How do you do that in a culture that says you should seek after fame? You should seek after people knowing your name. Well, let me give you two questions to answer truthfully. If we want to decrease so that he can increase, the first question is this: who are you representing? Who are you representing? Now, this may sound like an easy question to answer, right? Like, come on, Ernest, this is Jesus. And it's like one of those like perfect like church questions. Like, I know the answer. The answer's got to be Jesus, right? Like, if I were to say, who loves you? You would say, okay, it's not that hard, guys. Like, you're at church. I know your spouse loves you. Maybe sometimes your kids love you. I know all that. But we're in church. We're talking about Jesus is almost always the right answer, right? So if you're online, if you're in the courtyard right here, let's ask it again. Who loves you?
Jesus.
Who died for you?
Jesus.
Who got swallowed by a big fish?
Jonah.
Oh, yeah. Some of you are like, I don't know. Right? But the answer is almost always Jesus. And yes, of course, in this situation, the answer is Jesus. Who are you representing? You represent Christ, but this one's a tough one. Because if I'm being real honest, there's many times in my life where I represent me. I care more about my brand, my name, my reputation. I care more about that than his name, his reputation. But as followers of Christ, we're to represent one and one alone. I mean, 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that you are Christ's ambassadors, that God actually makes his appeal to the world through you and I. Think about that for a moment. That God makes his appeal to the world, like, hey, world, I'm a loving, just, grace-filled, this is who I am as God. He makes that appeal to the world through you and I. An ambassador is the highest ranking diplomat sent from one country to another to represent the home territory. That means you are the highest ranking diplomat sent from heaven to earth to represent God's kingdom. That's a powerful thought. You are Christ's ambassadors. You represent him. That means that when you walk into a room, light walks into the room. That when you log on to Facebook, that hope should log on to Facebook, that you are Christ's ambassadors so that God can make his appeal to the world through us. But this is a struggle. It's a struggle for me. I'll just be real honest. I mean, especially over the last few months, like, this has been a real struggle for me, this desire to be liked, this desire for people to know me or for me to have a good reputation in the community or whatever. And so there's been many times throughout the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 months where I felt like maybe God has told me to say something, whether it's about COVID or about race or name whatever situation we're in right now. And I feel like God wants me to say something, but I go, oh, I don't know. And if I say something, like, will people get mad? Will people leave the church? What are they going to think about me? All of that. I'm just being real with you. Like, even last week, I talked last week. If you missed the message, I would really encourage you to go watch it. I talked about how we're living offended lives right now. Like, so many people are living this offended life. Like, everything upsets us in this moment. Would you agree with that? Like, and maybe not you. Maybe you're not there, but if you just jump on social media, you'll see most of the world is living very offended. And so I talked about how, like, a mask, like, wearing a mask should not divide us. Like, that, like, should be the least, you know, concern about us. And I get it. There's all kinds of political, I get all of that. But, like, if we're called to be peacemakers, then let's figure out how to live in peace. And I knew when God put that on my heart to say that there are going to be people who would email me. It would be people who say, I think we're going to leave the church. And honestly, like, if somebody leaves a church, as some of my buddies have found out in these last few weeks, if somebody leaves a church because of a mask, bro, that's a sign of your own spirituality. Not of, like, the church, not of the desire to serve people and love people. That's a sign of where other people are in this moment. And I know that every time I feel like God is telling me to say something, I'm like, oh, I'm not sure. because will people get mad? Will people get upset with me? Will they leave the church or any of that stuff? And here's what I know. When you care more about your name, when you care more about your brand, when you care more about your reputation than his reputation, it's really hard to follow Jesus in everything. It's really hard to do what Christ tells us to do. It's difficult to be an ambassador for Jesus when we're more concerned about our reputation and what people think about us. But if you and I want to be an ambassador, if we want God to make his appeal to the world through us, then we have to ask the question, who do I represent? Hopefully the answer is Jesus, and we seek to represent him. The second question is this: whose approval matters most? Whose approval matters most? Now, again, easy answer, of course, is Jesus. But I think if we dig deep, there are many times where the approval of the crowd is what we're seeking after, right? Like, we'll join in on certain jokes and we'll respond to things on Facebook that we know we probably shouldn't be responding to because we're looking for the approval of other people. And here's what I would say. Instead of living from the approval of Christ, we're living for the approval of the crowd. Instead of living from the approval of Christ, which Christ says, hey, I already approve of you. Like, there's nothing that you can do to get me to approve of you. I love you, and I died for you. Like, I showed in the greatest way possible how much I approve of you. So you don't need the approval of other people. But instead of living from that approval of Christ, we live for the approval of the crowd. And here's what's fascinating about the desire for fame. Psychologists tell us that a desire for fame is rooted in injury and neglect. In injury and neglect. The chances are at some point in your life you felt insignificant. Maybe difficult parents to please or rejected by friends, or you felt alone. And because of that injury or neglect, there's this desire to just be known, a desire to be liked, a desire for people to respect you or to love you or to be known in some fashion. There's that desire of that because there's injury and neglect. And here's the reality. All of us have been injured and all of us have been neglected. All of us at some point in our lives. But because of that injury and that neglect, we long for people to like us. But as followers of Christ, we shouldn't seek fame. We should seek to be faithful. Like when you die and you go to heaven, God's not going to say, well done, my good and really famous Instagram star. Hopefully he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Hopefully he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I believe the greatest representation of Jesus, the greatest way that we can show that we're ambassadors of him is do what he did. And the Bible says that Jesus didn't come to be served, but to what? To serve. And there's some of you in here today, you need to hear this. There's some of us that are serving in kids ministry and people may never know your name. In fact, the parents that come pick up their kids from your class may never know your name. They may never know your face for a while because of a mask or whatever the case may be. But here's what I do know. The God of the universe knows your name, and he is proud of you. Or maybe you're a greeter in our church, and I know it's weird, you know, and greeting with a mask on. It's just very different than it was 6 months ago, and I know it's strange and all of that, but I believe that God sees you. God sees the sacrifice that you're making. For some of us, we've tithed faithfully year over year, and I believe that God's proud of you because of your generosity. There's some of us that, you know, we're in a place where we're like, what we do is, man, we're prayer warriors. And even though maybe our prayers don't get answered, or maybe the people that we pray for never know, or maybe never say thank you for praying for them, God hears the cries of your prayer. And there's some of us in this place, you just need to know that even if others may not know your name, the God of the universe sees you, and he sees what you're doing. And again, I firmly believe that we're never more like Jesus than when we're serving, and so we want to give that as an opportunity. Every you know, you could do it any time, but every about two or three times a year, we want to say, hey, here's some ways that you can serve. And we feel like we've We're kind of in this weird place with COVID and church and all of that. And we know that for some of us, we've stopped serving. We've kind of stepped back for a while because of different reasons. And for others of us, we're brand new to church. We've had a lot of new people start coming to Front Range over the last 6 weeks since we've been meeting in person. And so for some of us, we haven't had a chance to start serving. For others of us, maybe we were serving in a place and we like that place, but because of COVID and just, you know, maybe for where you're at right now, you're like, I'm willing to serve, but in a different area right now. And so what we've done as a team is we worked really hard to try to identify certain areas where you can still serve no matter where you are. And so we said, hey, there's kind of three types of people. There's people that we would identify as green light. If you're green light, you're like, man, I'm ready to be back at church. I'm ready to be around people. I'm comfortable with that. Then there's yellow light where you would say, you know, I want to get out of the house, but I'm still really cautious about things. I'm not quite ready to be green light yet. And then there's others of us, maybe those of you who are watching online, where we'd say, man, I'm red light. Maybe because of my own health or because of the health of others. I was talking with a doctor this week, and he said, man, it's really hard for me to get to church because I don't want to give it to somebody else, and I get it. So whatever the reason is that there are people who would say, man, I'm red light right now. So what we've done is we've gone through every single one of our serve teams. We've identified green, yellow, and red, and what serve teams people can be a part of. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to get out your phone. I forgot mine in my seat. So I want you to get out your phone right now. I know some of you are like, I can't do that in church. Yes, you can. Go ahead and get out your phone and go to frontrange.info. Frontrange.info. If you're sitting in the courtyard, go ahead and do it right now. If you're sitting at home, just open up another browser. Go to frontrange.info. When you go there, the first tab that you're going to see is serve. It says serve. Click on that tab. And once you click on that, scroll down a little bit, and you'll see what we've done is we put every serve team into five categories. We said, okay, some people, they want to serve behind the scenes. Some people like to make services happen. Some people want to work with kids, you know, whatever the case may be. And so we put them into five categories, and we've listed every team that goes within those categories. So open up one of those categories, and within a serve, but right beside a serve team. So if it's like online campus or something like that, you'll see that you can be red, yellow, green light. You could be all three. There's other teams that it's just green light. So we're trying to help you identify if you're like, man, I'm green light, then every team is, you know, is available to you. If you're like, man, I'm red light, there's still eight teams that you can get a part of. And the reason why we've done that is because we believe that our God was not surprised by COVID and that God calls us to serve. So he's figuring out ways and giving us wisdom to figure out ways to allow opportunities for you and I to still serve in this time frame. And so what we've done is we put a connect card at every chair, even outside, online. You're already on the website, and if you're looking at your phone, you're on there as well. And what we want to encourage you to do, if you're not currently serving someplace right now, and you'd say, man, I'd be interested, even if it's I'm in red light zone, man, there's still eight teams, but I'd be interested in helping out in some way, then just fill out the form. Either fill out your Connect card and just check the serving box, and we'll tell you what to do that in a little bit. Or if you're on that site right now, you could just fill out the little form that's right there. Super simple. We'll follow up with you this week. And we'll help you know, hey, here's some of the teams that you could be a part of depending on where you feel like you are in this season. Here's what I know. God, when Jesus came, he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. And our best representation of him is by serving. By loving people in such a way that we serve them in their lives. And here's my prayer. My prayer is that the world may not know my name. The world may never know your name. But I know the creator of the world. I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and he knows my name. And my prayer is that I would be more concerned about what he says to me, about what he calls me, and he calls you and I a son or a daughter. He calls us blessed. He calls us loved. He calls us faithful. He calls us ambassadors, and that's what I want to be. And the only way to break through this, even the micro cravings of fame, the only way to break through this seeking of more, the seeking of more likes, more followers, more attention, more credit, more people, you know, applauding us, more people liking our reputation or what, the only way to break through all of that is to ask ourselves, who are we representing and whose approval matters most? When we ask those two questions and when we look throughout Scripture, may we get to a place where John the Baptist was able to get in the height of his ministry, in the height of all his followers, where we say, may I decrease so that he will increase. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and I thank you for your word. I thank you so much for John the Baptist's life, God, and just the example he gives to us. And Father, how he was in the midst of fame, how he was in the midst of popularity, how the community was talking about him and people were traveling for miles and miles to visit him and to be baptized by him and to hear his teachings. And yet in the midst of all of that, he says, I have to decrease and may Christ increase. Father, may that be our desire. May we put the focus off of ourselves and onto Jesus. Father, I know for some of us, we've come into this place, and if we're being real honest, we'd say, man, Ernest, I do feel alone. I do feel like I've been on this rat race of looking for approval, looking for people to like me. A statement you made earlier that we're living a life longing for wanting likes, but longing for that love, like that's me. That's totally characterizes where I'm at right now. And if that's you, I want you to know the greatest love you could ever receive is the love in Christ. And Christ showed you that love by dying on the cross for you and I, not because we deserved it, not because we were good, or because we loved him first, but because he first loved us. And if that's you, if you're in a place with every head bound, eyes closed, if you'd say, man, Ernest, honestly, yeah, coming into this place, I've been feeling alone. I've been longing and seeking likes and seeking even these micro cravings of fame because I have this huge desire to be known and to be loved. And God is saying to you today, come home. That I love you. That I know you. And today you want to give your life to Christ or recommit your life to Christ. You want to receive what Jesus has for you. Every head bowed, eyes closed. If that's you, I just want you to raise a hand. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for each one of these individuals. Father, for those who are online, if you're watching online, you could just text the word follow to the number on the screen. And what we want to do is we want to walk with you in this time. I want you to know you're not alone. That our God does see you. He does know you. He does love you, that you are accepted by him. And Father, I pray for all of us, God, especially those of us like myself that wrestle with this pursuit of fame, even micro cravings of it, wanting to be liked and to be respected and to be known. Father, may we decrease and may you increase. May we ask the question, who am I representing? And may we seek to represent you first and foremost. And whose approval matters most, God, it's yours. But God, get us in that place every day. Father, we thank you. Tell us what to do next in Jesus' name.